This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And we're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. And I guess the first question here is, after what Jerry Jones told Sean and RJ this morning, what concerns you more now that you do know that Terrence still will be the right tackle for this team? Mike, does it concern you more that he is going to be there with Lyle Collins out, or that you're not going to be able to get any more pressure with Randy Gregory currently being out on the COVID list?
I go to Terrence Steele. I don't think that Randy Gregory can consistently get you pressure anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Lyle Collins does a great job giving Dak as much time and protection as needed. And now we're going to go from one of the best to not one of the best. I'll be nice and say not one of the best. And even Jerry Jones said today, after complimenting Terrence Steele, we'll give him a lot of help, which means that Zeke and the tight ends are going to have to be great blockers, because you're dealing with a guy who can struggle, as we saw last year in the NFL, with blocking defensive ends. And he's going to be going against a very good one in Bosa, and they will probably throw some other things over there. If you're putting together blitz packages and different things, I'm just assuming that you're going to put pressure on Steele to read who's coming this time and who's doing this and who's doing that. So this team is based off of offense. If they can score 35 points a game, they'll have a great record. If they struggle to get to 30, they're going to struggle to win games. And Terrence Steele being out is the major strength of our team. Or sorry, Lyle being out's the major strength, and Terrence Steele filling in makes it very tough.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it that getting that guy on the field. Now, Mickey's been saying that he was having a pretty good camp, that he came back physically looking different than he did the year before.
Anthony Brown had a good camp.
And that he worked hard all offseason, and Jerry, you know, obviously talked about that a little earlier this morning as well. He's not Lyle Collins, though. And it's completely different whenever you're not getting that type of protection for Dak. And you're right, Dak will float some to make timing work out. He'll get rid of the ball quickly. But there's going to be a lot of different stuff that they're going to have to do to approach it from the 214. I'm more concerned about our coaching staff, that they're a bunch of dumb A's. Steele against Bosa should work out. Yeah, morons. We're still confused about the Lyle Collins situation, where they are at the moment. So let's go hit cut number 30. Jerry this morning trying to explain the suspension.
The policy, it's a mistake to totally look or refer to the language in a policy when you have the ability the governance of the commissioner that can overrule anything and give his interpretation and make his final judgment. Mm-hmm. Now, the commissioner hadn't gotten involved in this one yet, but there are a lot of different nuances there, a lot of different ways to look at the policy. You've had the thing aired out pretty good. You had a mediator, judge type, basically make a decision on it, and then we'll go from there and see if there's any relief that he can get higher in the chain, so to speak, possibly even with the commissioner. And that's about all I can tell you. It's a very, very convoluted situation, but our policy as it stands right now has a lot of emphasis on the if you will, the process, of meeting with consultants, of consulting relative to whatever your issue is. And if that's infringed on, in other words, if that's not adhered to in a pretty formal way, then you can get in some pretty heavy areas there regarding your eligibility to play.
Right.
That's a mouthful, but yeah. That's about all I can say.
And you can hear him every Tuesday at 8:20 with Sean and RJ. You'll hear him Friday with us as well. Now, here's my question. What I heard there, and I might have heard something different, and 877-881-1053, text in what you heard there. What I heard was he is crossing his fingers and hoping that after they've gone through the mediator, after they've gone through whatever step it is, that they can go to Roger Goodell, and I don't know who has to go to Roger Goodell. If it's Jerry and Steven, if it's the agent of Lyle Collins, if there's some other body that goes to Roger Goodell and says, hey, all this stuff being included, can you look at all this real quick? Can you give us a pass here? And I think that they are kind of like, they have to do the waiting process. Steven told us yesterday, the worst thing about his job is that he has to wake up on Monday morning and some news is broken. But that's what it feels like, is they're just hoping that there is still a possibility that Roger Goodell will come in, wave the wand, and fix everything so that they can get Lyle Collins on the field as quickly as possible. That's what I heard.
I just heard Jerry, to me, say a whole bunch of things that didn't make a lot of sense to not answer the question, which is fine. Like, they don't need to answer the question.
And what's the big question for you in this? Why is he suspended?
Yes,
reason of why? Like, what is the drug?
A little bit, yeah, or you know, and maybe there is nothing. He just was too lazy and just like, I don't care about the team.
Maybe.
I don't care about this organization. I don't care about Dak Prescott, you know, because you can say things. You can say, I'll give all the money in the world. I'll do all these things to win a championship. But then it was like, there are things you can do and you refuse to do them. So you can say words. Lyle can say, or people that will defend him on social media will say certain things, but it's like the actions are what they are. And so here is the action saying, I don't really care too much about my quarterback, about my team, because I didn't care to pee in a cup a whole bunch of times. You know, 7 times is a lot. Whether you have to take a pee test every day, if that's part of your job, you know, you have to pee every day. Just make sure it's in a cup. Give it to the guy who needs it or the girl who needs it to test it. But I felt Jerry just said a whole bunch of things, but I didn't get anything relevant out of it. Like, I didn't understand anything more to the situation.
I don't know if this is true, but from the 972 in a court of law, a mediator never makes the decision. Their job is simply to suggest a resolution in a disagreement.
Remember, the players gave up all rights in the NFL. They don't have any rights. They can't do what MLB players can do. They cannot do what NBA players can do. They wanted to practice 20% less. So they've given up all their rights for certain things and almost everything. So, you know, watch my words here, but they have no rights. They are controlled by the league. They are controlled by the owner, and they cannot fight and they cannot try certain things because they gave those up so they would get to practice less.
So, but that being said, there was a consensus decision on Zeke from somebody, right? Like, that was like Roger Goodell ultimately was like, okay, here's what we're going to do based on who he talked to.
Right.
And we've seen it happen. We're observing it not happen with Deshaun Watson right now for whatever reason, but we've seen that Roger Goodell can make these decisions at some point. What does it take to persuade him? That's the only thing I can think is that you can persuade that person, but is being lazy something that Roger Goodell looks at as being unacceptable? Is whatever it was too much, too far, too extreme? Or does he hold a grudge against the Cowboys? Like I think Cowboys fans out there are like, yeah, man, we always get the shaft on this. We're always losing these guys. And there's part of you that's like, well, why do you have those guys in the first place? You know, why don't you say, you know what, that's not going to cut it here. And I think that's where a lot of people get kind of, well, I've had to pick a side. I'm not going against the NFL. I'm just going to go against the Cowboys because they accept this.
My opinion is the Cowboys did get shafted on the Ezekiel Elliott situation because it happened in college. He played his whole rookie year with nothing, happening. He did nothing during his rookie year to the young lady that maybe he did or didn't do in college. But nothing was found out in Columbus, Ohio, and the NFL's like, we don't care. We're going to pretty much ruin your 2017 season. But besides that, I mean, Randy Gregory was failing tests. Yeah. It wasn't like, I mean, they didn't cheat us.
Right, yeah.
Randy wasn't taking tests, and at the time, weed was illegal. You can disagree with that. That's fine, but that was the rule. If right now, if drinking coffee is illegal, that doesn't seem fair.
Oh my gosh.
You'd have to go by that rule. If they say, hey, if you drink coffee at your workplace or at all, and we test you and you have caffeine in your body, then it would say, that's not fair. It's not an illegal. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, that's the rule. And so Randy failed the rules of the NFL. And it doesn't matter if I think that's too many P tests. I think that these high and mighty P testers are just trying to do their job. Because I heard Gavin Dawson yesterday talk about this. It doesn't matter. A rule's a rule. And if you break the rules and there's consequences for them, I don't think anybody's shafting you. It's the rule that every player has to follow. And as far as I know, Lyle's the only one that decided to skip all of these. Whether he got tested 180 times or 180 million times, he skipped enough to put the Cowboys in this situation.
Yeah, and maybe Mike, you're probably dead on. If their players' association was as strong as what MLB's is, then they wouldn't have to worry about some of those little things that end up there. But I don't know. You know, there's part of me sometimes like, I wonder if they even really care about that. If, hey, I got suspended. Oh, well, I'm not, I don't have to practice. Yeah. I don't have to play anymore.
And I guess I heard his number for his game check, which he loses, is so low because they converted a lot of his money into a bonus. This just, yes, it hurts him financially, but not nearly as much as you would think.
The other thing though, Mike, because whenever we bring up Randy Gregory, now, I know his pressure was pretty much unaccounted for in Tampa, but you watched Brian Baldinger post some videos of Rashawn Slater,
right.
And I'm not here. I want everybody to understand.
An hour ago, yeah.
I am not trying to say, hey, we should have drafted Rashawn Slater. Although I would feel better about him backing up Lyle Collins this week than I would anybody else. What I'm trying to say is, if we're going to try and get pressure on Justin Herbert and you don't have what is perceived as your best pass rusher or your second best pass rusher out there, and you're trying to go up against Slater, this is, again, Bosa versus Collins or Bosa versus Steele, big deal. That is a huge deal because now Dak, are we looking at another situation like we did with the Falcons a couple years ago where we had 7 sacks in a game? Well, now I'm looking at the other side going, how are we going to get it at Justin Herbert? Mike, you already said he's going to demolish us.
I think he's going to have a great game. Yeah.
Especially after what you saw happen against Anthony Brown the other night.
Yeah.
So now Justin Herbert, who is on his way up, he is on the rise here, and his offensive line, he had the least amount of pressure of every offense or every defense out there against him. And that was against what is the best defensive line in this league.
I think what's scary is if you go to Brian Baldinger's Twitter, I retweeted what he tweeted on Slater. He's dominating Chase Young.
Yes.
So Chase Young, who is way better, he's way better than DeMarcus Lawrence. And DeMarcus Lawrence is a very good player. But Chase Young is one of these looks like Hall of Famer, looks like Defensive Player of the Year type of guy. He's considered fourth in Vegas to win Defensive Player of the Year this year. Well, he might as well be last if he had to go against Slater every time, because when you watch Baldinger and he shows you what he's doing in the run game and pass game, Chase Young has no chance. So if it's Randy Gregory out there on Slater, I get it. He's more talented than if you throw out Dorrance Armstrong or if you throw out Bradley and I or whoever. But you have no chance. That person, whoever goes against Slater, has zero chance to affect the game. Because you're going to just get dominated. Even if it's DeMarcus Lawrence, if you throw DeMarcus Lawrence on Slater, DeMarcus Lawrence will get dominated for 70 plays. He has no chance against that guy. So when you look at the Cowboys losing Randy Gregory, yes, it does. It depletes your depth. It depletes a little bit of your talent. But who's ever going against Slater, the game's over. You're just trying your best, but you're going to get dominated. Yeah, because if Chase Young can't do anything against that guy, our guys have no chance to do anything.
From the 817, I know Mike loves when people say things like this. We can slide protections towards Steele and Chip with tight ends, you idiots.
Well, if we had a blocking tight end, I would say that would help. I think that Zeke's going to have to help a lot. Like the way, and Zeke looked like Emmett Smith in his prime, picking up, free runners to Dak. So he did a great job, and I think that Zeke will do a great job in that again. And getting Martin back should help the pressure coming up the middle, because there was Biotic did not have a good game, and the Connors, they played pretty good, but at times they would get dominated, and those defensive tackles for Tampa are very good, but. I just listened to Broadus. If you listen to Broadus, who was an offensive lineman and did it at LSU and was a scout forever, sliding protection and doing stuff like that does not cover up below average players that much. All you had to do was watch football this weekend. All you had to do was watch last night and see how the Ravens did in blocking when they were trying to help out offensive tackles that don't have experience and that are a little bit weak. It's really tough to just say, he's not good, but don't worry. Our tight end that can't block, because make no mistake about it, our guys aren't Jason Witten here. Jason Witten could block in his prime.
And
he could help out. These guys can't help. These tight ends are bad blockers for us. And that's the way the NFL is going. It's nothing against these guys. Most NFL tight ends are bad blockers. So to just say that, you know, to me, I've always had this theory, and we see it sometimes in the NFL with smart teams. Just play six offensive linemen at times.
Yeah. Well, and Mike, I know you hope you're wrong too. I know we both hope that we're wrong and that when Sunday comes, everything changes. We're just looking at what we feel like the reality is based off what we saw in week one and what we know about these players. You know what? Let's talk to Mickey Spagnuolo, our Dallas Cowboys insider, next and find out what he thinks about Terrence Steele. Next on The Fan. Right now with us, it's our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, brought to you by Ford. Ford, built for Texas, built for you. He's on the Romeo's Pizza hotline at the moment. Mickey, how are you doing this morning?
Good. Anything going on?
Well, Jerry Jones talked this morning because he talks twice a week on our station right here on 105 Through the Fan, as well as Stephen Jones. And he announced, he made the announcement for Mike McCarthy that that Terrence Steele will be the starting right tackle to replace Lyle Collins this weekend. Was that? Did you expect that?
Well, they had been vague about it.
Right.
So it sounded like they were leaning towards maybe trying one either Steele or Nsekhe. Although yesterday, when Kellen Moore was asked about Nsekhe, the best he could say was he's knowledgeable and has big size.
Okay,
I mean, it takes a while to get around him,
right?
And I was like, that's not a ringing endorsement for that guy. So I had a feeling if they were going to go that way, it might be Steele, just because of how they practiced him during training camp. He started off as the backup right tackle, and then he went to the backup left tackle. So I'm thinking they were trying to find out if he's going to be like the backup swing tackle that's active in the game. You got to be able to play both positions. And the left side's usually the toughest one, and I think they were trying to see if he could handle that. We know he started 14 games last year as an undrafted rookie, kind of got put in a very unfair situation. I thought he struggled, and he struggled to the point where they finally decided to move Zach Martin out there to tackle for those two games before he got hurt. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. I would rather see Zach. I mean, I've been saying it, right? So there's no sense backtracking now. Moving Zach Martin out to right tackle and move McGovern into the starting guard spot. I thought he played awfully well in the game against Tampa Bay. But it sounds like, you know, they're going to give this Steele thing a chance. That didn't mean they got to stick with it for five games, right? If indeed the suspension sticks with Lyle Collins. And then the other thing Jerry said that I don't know it makes you feel good, he says, yeah, he'll do a nice job and we'll give him some help. And it's like, okay. So, you know, we'll see how this one goes. I think in McCarthy's mind, he probably thought, well, there's no reason to give the Chargers a scouting report for us. So anyway, yeah. So it looks like, you know, Steele's the guy for now.
Well, Mike has been discussing this morning, and it doesn't feel like our tight ends are maybe the greatest blocking tight ends. And I know Zeke was back in the, you know, he was back in the backfield a lot being a blocker. What is their best option there? Is it Jarwin, Schultz? Like, what's the best option as a blocking tight end to
help
out?
Well, I think right now it's probably Schultz. Well, actually, it's Sean McEwen.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not, you know, available. He's on injured reserve. So, and I don't think Sprinkle's been known as a big-time blocker. You know, but, I mean, you can't keep giving the guy help in pass protection and keeping extra guys in, right? You know, and then what they need is whoever plays that spot, it's got to be a good run blocker. At some point they're going to have to run the football. They're not going to play against every team that wants to play a five-man front. And you know, blitz linebackers in run downs. So they've got to be able to be able to block. Now, you can put a tight end over there, and look, the tight ends aren't pancaking type blockers, right?
Mm-mm.
They're just, you know, look at what Witten did during his career, and he explained it to me once. He goes, you just got to screen the guy off. You know, it's not like you're moving somebody 5 yards back. Just get in their way so they don't muck up the play, sort of like what happened on the goal line on that pitch out to Zeke when Jarwin missed the block on the outside guy, right? If he just gets in the guy's way, you know, forces him to go one way or the other, Zeke scores a touchdown, walk in, right? And they don't kick that field goal, and that's 4 points they left on the field on one play. It's not like they've got Alfredo Roberts out there as your second tight end out there to block, right?
So, Mick, look at what Dak did last year before the injury, what he did Thursday night. And a lot of times I hear, hey, a lot of teams try to bring guys down into the box so that Zeke isn't going to get off to a good start or have a great game. But when you look at what Dak is doing, he's throwing for, it seems like, 400 yards on a consistent basis now. And I don't know exactly how many times you can see it when you're at the game. On television, it's a little bit tougher to see. Well, how many times are they cheating to try to dare the Cowboys to pass? But I think the way that Cooper is, the way that CD is, the way that Dak has been when healthy last year and then this first game, wouldn't you dare the Cowboys to run now?
Well, yes. And I think that was the bet Tampa Bay was making. Maybe they watched too much Hard Knocks. Or they used Phil Simms' scouting report on Dak, thinking, I don't know that he's ready to play or he's going to throw. So let's make our bet to stop the run, and we'll take our chances with Dak throwing the ball, right? Well, they lost the bet. And they nearly lost the game because of it. So it'll be interesting to see what San Diego does. And I agree with you, Mike. You know, at some point, somebody's going to go, you know what? You know, we got to put more guys in coverage. They're ripping us apart throwing the ball. And I thought it was interesting and instructive yesterday when Kellen Moore pointed out that, you know, we called 28 running plays, and 12 of those Dak checked out of into a pass play. And he said on those 12 plays, we averaged 4.8 yards a play. So what he was pointing out is what he checked into was basically a 5-yard running play, which you would take every time, right? You know, they throw the little smoke screen out there to CD, and he gets 6 or 7. You know, I don't know that those plays are meant to go for touchdowns, but they're meant to loosen up the front. To say, you can't just keep putting 5 guys up there and think we're going to run into it and, you know, bang our head against the wall. We're going to go outside and see if we can get those 5 yards a different way, which they did, pretty regularly, too. So each team will do what their personnel dictates them to do, and it'll be interesting to see what the Chargers do.
It takes a lot of patience, Mickey, I think, on the side of the quarterback for one, but also on Zeke to not be like, hey, I need to go ahead and get the ball. I need to try. Like, give me that opportunity. And for the entire offense to have that patience to say, hey, this is one of our better players. And I do wonder how how many weeks that something like that could go on before Zeke is like, hey, I can actually be a help.
You know what? I think he knows he can be a help. But again, you know, how many times did Tampa Bay run the ball?
Not enough.
They ran it less than the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever's working, go with it, right? And I think the key thing with this offense, and we talk about the different talents they have, and multiple, right? No one's selfish. No one's out there asking Amari Cooper or CeeDee Lamb, did you get enough looks? Did they throw enough balls to you? Zeke, did you get enough carries? And I think it's a pretty unselfish group, which is quite remarkable in the NFL these days, that, you know, no one gets frustrated. And I think Zeke did a wonderful job in picking up blitzes, in picking up guys that came free in the backfield, you know, and that's what they asked him to do, and he did it. He and Tony Pollard. There was a couple plays that the pass would have never got off if Zeke doesn't pick the guy up. So, you know, that's kind of a quality I think goes unnoticed in games. Like, well, what's he doing out there? Well, he did what they asked him to do, and after the game, he didn't have any problems with it. And I think he understands it's a game-to-game thing. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. But, again, when you can throw for 400 yards, you know, let's not talk about balance, because these days in the NFL, there's not a lot of balance going on with a lot of these teams.
So as of now, Randy Gregory can't practice this week. Hopefully he'll be ready for Sunday. How does that affect the Cowboys?
Well, you know, we kept hearing a lot about Dorrance Armstrong. So, Dorrance, this is your life. Step up. You know, you may get a chance to start here if Gregory can't go. They'll have to rely, you know, more snaps with him, more snaps with Basham. You know, they did rotate quite a bit. You know, Bradley and I got snaps at defensive end. So, you want Gregory out there. So who knows if, you know, in time he can get those two negative tests, you know, within a 24-hour period. You know, we talk about, is he asymptomatic? Well, everybody's saying he's asymptomatic, and I think Jerry said he had mild symptoms, so I don't know if that qualifies as asymptomatic or not. But as you go along the week, it doesn't have to be like right from the start have no symptoms. You can have symptoms and they go away, and then you see if you can get those tests. I just think that he had one fumble recovery and one tackle in the game. They did a really good job of neutralizing him. I think they probably were listening to us, right, talking about what a great training camp that Randy Gregory had. And it's like, okay, he's not messing up my offense. So we'll see where that one goes. But, yeah, I think this is – it sounds like, and if you look around the league right now, it's like every team is dealing with this, right? No matter how careful you are, no matter if you're vaccinated or not, it's just cropping up around the league. And, you know, I think Jerry kind of said, you know, you kind of treat these as, well, okay, he's got a sprained ankle, he can't play or this week. Or, you know, so the ankle, the COVID, you kind of look at it the same way. You know, everybody, I mean, they're being about as careful as they can be here. Now, no one knows what these guys are doing outside the facility when they're on their own time. But, again, it looks like, you know, it's what, 10 already this year? And I think all last year they only had six guys on the COVID reserve list. So, I guess we better get ready to think we got to deal with this. So, and again, when you got to start the backups, then it's like, okay, who's backing up the backup, right? The good thing on the offensive line, not only is Zach Martin going to be available, but so is Brandon Knight. So they got another backup guy that can help him out.
All right. Well, Mickey, we look forward to talking to you every single day. We'll figure out what time we get you on tomorrow, man.
We're going to play that game, right? When's Mickey going to show up?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow at some point, man.
Okay, guys.
There he is. That is Mickey Spagnuolo on the Romeo's Pizza Hotline. Get game-winning pizza delivery and takeout at romeospizza.com. By the way, you heard him say, hey, look, Amari's not out here being a selfish guy. you want to hear Amari Cooper talk, he'll be on with the G-Bag Nation every Thursday. So he'll be he's doing a weekly.
Wait, just this Thursday?
Every Thursday, Reggie. Every single Thursday. Looking forward to hearing that as well. Coming up next, this is one of my favorite segments because he gets all hyped up for it. Mm. Mike Bacsik asks all the questions. Next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, home of the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Rangers. And just like I said, you can hear Jerry Jones coming up with us on Friday. Stephen Jones is coming up as well. And you heard him this morning, Jerry Jones, giving you the information that you needed to know about what you're going to be doing on the offensive line and how he feels about the Randy Gregory situation at the moment. But right now, it is time to let Mike Bacsik ask all the questions.
Yeah, Mike. All right, let's start asking some NFL questions here, guys. Is this finally the year Russell Wilson gets at least one MVP vote as he threw for 4 touchdown passes and 254 yards?
I don't know why people don't vote for him. I really don't know what it is. Is it that they don't feel like he is the key factor because his offense is typically a run first offense? But that dude puts the ball in the air and puts his receivers in great position. He throws them open, and he is always one of the reasons that that team is going to be competing into the playoffs. It's never made any sense to me that he's never gotten one single vote. Based on what I saw against the Colts the other day, I think he will. I think he should. But it's pretty much the same thing that you get from him on a consistent basis his entire career. And maybe, just maybe, Mike, if he makes a few more appearances with Peyton and Eli, maybe that'll help out just a little bit because he needs to show that Mr. Unlimited personality. Right, Reggie?
Oh, no. I would love for Lil Russ to get some MVP votes or a MVP vote, any MVP vote. I just don't trust that offense. Like, Pete Carroll is how old now?
He's in his 70s, right, or late 60s.
I don't feel like he's going to change his stripes, which is, you know, eventually defaulting back to an offense that, you know, is going to be fairly run heavy. Even if they don't have the running backs or the necessary ability or whatever, I feel like they're going to at some point take the ball away from Russ and put it in a running back's hand, and it'll do as it has for them fairly well, and he'll just be in a place where he's not going to be able to compare to the numbers that some other quarterback puts up.
Pete Carroll is 69, by the way.
Nice.
Russell Wilson, according to USA Today, after week one, is in the list of these three guys for the MVP. After 1 week, they said, it is Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, and Patrick Mahomes are your front runners for MVP. Not in that order, but those are the three best quarterbacks after week one for MVP.
Based on what you saw in week one, which one would you choose? Because
I would choose Patrick Mahomes.
I would choose Kyler.
But I watched that game. I saw the highlights.
Okay.
And saw what they were doing.
Dude, he was so good. Like, he was as good as, like, Mahomes had to come back, and he got beat up a little bit. And I know what we all think about Mahomes. Kyler was on point. And the highlights were the highlights because They were the best parts of what he did. He was really good, man.
All right, Christian McCaffrey almost has 100 yards rushing, almost has 100 yards receiving. Do you guys believe that he is back to the best running back in the NFL?
I think that they are going to give him every opportunity to be that guy. Now, that being said, Sam Darnold did find Robbie Anderson, like he did, I think, like twice in New York when they were with the, when they were the Jets together. But I don't know what other options they really truly have. Other than, hey, this is our best. This is our best offensive player. Now, my concern is, will that hurt him again physically? Because they're like, hey, let's throw it out to him. Let's run him this many times. That's my biggest concern, is that they try to produce the same way that they have in the past, and they don't give him that spell that his body needs to recover, and he might take another injury on. But he looks good. Like, he looks like that player still.
Sure does. I mean, he's the best on that team. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they're going to give him all the opportunities. I also feel like they weren't playing a great team as well.
Not the Jets?
No. Surprising, right?
That is surprising.
187 yards.
But it's hard to argue McCaffrey. With that. It just feels like, and I know, everything that we're going to do after week one is an overreaction. It just feels like a little much of an overreaction, even as like the single best running back. He's going to be up there in that tier, though.
You guys, I don't think, respect this guy very much. Jimmy Garoppolo goes to 25-8 in regular season games after beating Detroit. What do you think of Jimmy Garoppolo? Do you still think that Trey Lance should be the quarterback there, or Jimmy Garoppolo will just get hurt and it'll eventually happen?
You know, we often have played the game of, what if Tom Brady didn't go to the New England Patriots, right? Would Tom Brady be as good as he is? I don't think so. I don't think that Tom Brady would have been the Super Bowl winning champion that he was with Tampa if he had not gotten the education that he got with New England. And I also take that all the way back to what we were discussing yesterday with Mac Jones after his first touchdown, didn't even want the football because it doesn't matter. And because that's a mindset that I think Tom Brady earned. Now, I think Jimmy Garoppolo landed with the perfect team in New England who had a perfect build for him. He's with a good defense right now. I don't think he's that great of a quarterback. And I think he's going to get broken at some point too. But I will give him the credit that they were able to just barely hold on in their victory over the Detroit Lions, a high-scoring out. What?
Just barely hold on?
I know it was 41-33, right?
Yeah.
And who had the ball in their hand at the end of the game and made a push to try and win that game? They could have very well lost that game. I think they were able to do it. I do think the future is still with Trey Lance.
Okay, let's go to Aaron Rodgers, as we know he was horrible, 133 yards, two INTs. But at the end of the game, I didn't watch this part, didn't know this until I read this. Jordan Love, because we talked about the rookie quarterbacks, we didn't talk about Jordan Love. He came into the game and went 5-for-7 for 68 yards. Was it a mistake not to just trade Aaron Rodgers to, let's say, the Denver Broncos? Because there's a report out there the Broncos tried very hard to get him. And just take the 3 first-round picks that you could have gotten for Aaron Rodgers and moved on with his commitment to this team.
I think when it comes to the Packers, they thought this team needs Aaron Rodgers to be there. And I don't think they necessarily believe that they have enough talent to make up for what Love lacks at the moment. And so Aaron Rodgers made up for all that. He was the MVP and everything. I think it might be better to trade him in season than it would be to trade to do that then. Because I think at some point Aaron Rodgers is going to put him in a situation, it seems like, if he looks as lackluster and disinterested as he did look, he's going to put them in a position to be a bad team. And they're going to be saying, well, let's go ahead and start this other guy and let's move on from Aaron Rodgers. That's what I think is the ultimate goal of Aaron Rodgers midseason.
What a huge week for them this week, as I believe they take on Detroit, which is a horrible.
On Monday Night Football.
They better win that game by 10 or more points, because if they were to lose that game, then they're in deep trouble, as in he's intentionally like not caring and just like, I don't care. I'm going to destroy this organization and you're not going to be able to trade me because of how bad I'm playing.
Do you think, based on what you saw Sunday, that he didn't care in that game or that his teammates weren't fully committed as well?
One, New Orleans played great. And then two, they didn't seem to want to fight back as much as you needed to when a team came out that strong and looked that good.
I wonder sometimes too, like when you lose in a championship game, if you have a little like, especially, and then you have that off season with all the, those questions and everything. If there's a lot of like, they're just really depleted.
All right,
I'm not even sure if it's that specific. I know folks that like keep up with the Packers that kind of have a feeling that Aaron Rodgers is, it's kind of his personality when it starts getting bad, that it's just like, all right, I'm done. I check out. And that's the feeling, and that's not everybody's feeling, but that's just the feeling that I've heard about Aaron Rodgers in that vein. So I do wonder if that's just what happened here. He looked up and was like, all right, no reason to keep going in this one.
We talked yesterday. Trevor Lawrence had never lost a regular season game in high school or in college. He loses his first regular season game as an NFL starting quarterback. Who was the last number one overall pick to win their first game played?
Ooh, that is a good question.
Do you have a guess?
Chad Pennington.
Okay, he was not the
great
number
one.
It was like his third year before.
You'd have to go with like Jamarcus Russell or yeah. Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning.
David Carr?
It is David Carr. Do you remember
who he
beat?
Did he ever win another game after that?
Don't do this, Mike.
He beat the Dallas Cowboys.
Mike!
I remember that. I was in Philadelphia playing for the Mets and going, oh, crap, we're horrible.
Did you say somebody crapped their pants?
We did. It was horrible. It was horrible, guys. All right, so my next and last question. The three wide receivers taken this year very high in the draft, Chase, Waddle, Smith, all have touchdown catches in week one. Will these three guys be better than? I'll even do this for the draft class before. I'll take out Henry Ruggs because I don't know what he's going to do, and he was the first wide receiver taken. Ooh. Let's go with Judy, who's out 4 to 6 weeks, CeeDee Lamb, and Justin Jefferson. I'll pick kind of the three best in that draft class. Who will be better, the three that were just drafted or the three I named from the previous draft?
I think these three might be better. And I'm going with, like, they have – pretty good quarterback and with Joe Burrow. I think Chase is going to be phenomenal. Man, you had Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb. You had a really good class last year. God.
Taking out Ruggs just because he's not looking that great.
I'm going to go with this year's class. Reggie?
I can see that. Devontae Smith looked really good.
He did. That stinks, too.
He looked really good.
I don't like that at all. All right, coming up next, did Dak put himself in that category, and at what point does a player earn that kind of respect? Next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.